you know, we always use the example of the house, and it's kind of like having your house and you don't even worry about locking the doors. You just leave them unlocked.
Come on in.
I got in trouble for that before. Previous episodes.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me as always is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. What's up, Donna?
What's up, David?
So, man, it's like summertime now.
I know, for real.
Like, not just on the calendar, but outside, it's summertime.
No, it's hot. Summertime in the South means hot and humid, but you know, you get to do a lot of cool things. So I'm excited about that. Trying to get my work done so I can get outside and play.
Is that what it is?
That's what I did when I was a kid, except I worked outside. So, you know, get the hay put up so you can go work in the barn, and then you're hot so you can jump in the pool.
Oh, I thought you might have had a pond or something.
Well, we had two fishing ponds, and you know, my aunt and uncle had one, and there was another one. So, but yeah, we had a pool.
Okay, cool. Sure, it wasn't a cement pond.
yeah.
That brings back some memories. Right. So anyway, all right. So today, guess what we're going to talk about?
Ransomware.
See, you're supposed to guess. Yeah, we're talking about ransomware. So, but we've already talked about ransomware before, but this time we're going to talk about preventing it, because we all know an ounce of prevention is worth several tons of cure when it comes to ransomware.
Absolutely.
And as you dig into this, you know, we'll go into it some, but if you have ever Googled it or you're reading your own stuff about it, one thing you're going to find out more and more is that people are saying, instead of spending time or money paying ransoms, spend your time or money preventing it from ever happening, or being set up and ready should it happen, where you can recover from it. So you're not wasting your time and money on paying criminals or terrorists or whatever else might be causing these things to happen. So we'll get into all that today on the show.
Yeah. So yeah, our previous one was about planning for ransomware and accepting that it would happen, having a plan if it happened. And we got a lot of feedback and a lot of, it's been one of our most popular episodes. So we needed to talk about, okay, if we have a plan, because we accept that it could happen, it should be on your risk analysis as almost certain to happen, high impact, high risk.
Yeah.
You know, and you should have a plan. That is fairly mature. If it's not on your risk analysis at all, you need to rethink your risk analysis. If it is on there, it should be high risk, and don't think that you can really prevent it. It's not like the world we used to live in.
No, and it's getting worse and worse.
Well, yeah, because it's not like the viruses and malware before. They didn't do what these do. Mm-hmm. They didn't work the way these work.
Yeah. And so for those of you who are listening who maybe don't know what the ransomware is, or maybe you hadn't listened to the previous episode, the ransomware is a form of, I guess you say, it's a form of malware. It comes into your computer typically by email or somehow that somebody has let it in. And when you do that, it typically will encrypt or lock, password protect, however you want to say it, certain files in your computer. And usually these are files that most people find very important. For instance, Microsoft Office files, QuickBooks files maybe, just things that are typically very important. Even pictures, I've seen pictures, image files being locked. Then you get a nice little note typically that pops up on your screen that says, you have the opportunity to get your stuff back by sending us a certain amount of money. And typically it's in bitcoins or some other kind of currency like that. And so that's it. And you pay the ransom, and you possibly will get your stuff back, or you don't pay the ransom and you have to fall back on whatever your plan of action is.
Yeah. Dum, da, dum, dum.
Yeah. So, you know, if you think about it, let's say they're going to, let's just say that's $700 to get your stuff back. And of course, it's a risk. We've seen times when people have paid it and got it back. And we've seen times when people paid it and not got stuff back. But it would make a lot more sense to take that money and put it into prevention rather than putting it into paying for something that's probably going to end up happening again because you never put any money into prevention in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you have, let's say, we always use the example of the house. And it's kind of like having your house and you don't even worry about locking the doors. You just leave them unlocked.
Come on in.
I've got in trouble for that before. Previous episodes. but the important thing to understand is that doing nothing only makes you much more likely to have a massive problem.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people ask about is when this happens to healthcare, because by the way, and I haven't gone back and counted again, but the last count was 8 hospitals had already been hit. And that April itself had a record number of cases that have been reported to the FBI, and there's no sign of it slowing down at all because it's being very lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
And they're smart enough that they're asking for a little bit of money, getting a little bit of money, and then they'll come back and hit you again. Hey, it's me again. You know, it's truly that story where at some point some business is going to freak out and plot to take out the evil person at the other end of the ransomware and they won't be able to find them. So they'll just freak out.
But you're not protected from this just because you're not a hospital. So, happen. Yeah. It'll happen to the small. I mean, I've had it happen to clients that were not medical. Matter of fact, probably the very first one I saw a couple of years ago was to a photography studio, and they got hit with ransomware and encrypt every image, not just on their computer, but on their little backup drive that they use because it was plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost years worth of images and photos. They didn't have a backup plan in place. Even though I'd begged them for quite a while to let's put something in place to back up their stuff to the cloud and all this. And it was, we don't need that. You know, we're good. And well, unfortunately, they were not good. And they didn't pay the ransom and they didn't get their stuff back and we couldn't recover. They lost thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures as well as dollars.
Wow. Yep. That's like business.
Yeah. And it was, they ended up, this is kind of a, if you look at some of the statistics, this will prove this out, but this particular photography studio, it was not a chain or anything, but this particular person ended up having to go out of business within a year because of that. That's how bad it affected them. And if you look at statistics, that's the way it typically happens when a business loses a large amount of data. They usually don't make it.
Yeah, statistically, if they have a breach or they're hit with ransomware and can't recover, then they're more likely to go out of business. And a lot of small businesses, 60% likely, some huge number, according to the FBI. So, I mean, when you look at that, it's clearly something you should worry about for yourself, your customers, your family, your employees, and their family. This is huge if you're not worrying about it. So, take the time to worry about it and know that the best defense right now is training and vigilance within your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we
talk about training a lot and it just cannot be overemphasized.
No, and still we go everywhere and there's nobody trained. Or if they are trained, it's, let me train you on HIPAA. We don't train you on the computer. We don't train you on security. And that is a big, big problem because this ransomware outbreak, if you will, is only going to get worse.
It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. Yeah. It's going to be crushing some companies. And so I had gathered a whole bunch of articles and tips that we're going to have available so that you can do your own research and create your own pile of stuff to give to the higher ups, if you will. There's a hostage rescue manual. I really like that one. But more importantly are the articles that even before all of this outbreak, where Security Magazine had an article predicting that 2016 was going to be the year of ransomware. I mean, they saw it coming, they knew it was happening, and it's definitely come to fruition much faster than I think even they thought. Yeah. But like you said, it's tiny little companies even. There's an article I found that last year, it's 24 employees retailer, and they get hit with it, and it went out there quietly for days and encrypted stuff all on the map drives and their accounting, and nothing popped up until the accounting just stopped working. And so they called somebody like you, hey, my accounting doesn't work. And the tech went out there and found 200 copies of ransom notes.
Wow. And that goes also to the point that we need to bring up, which very in the recent past, because I know people are going to be listening to this, you know, down the road, but in the latter part of May of this year, Microsoft actually announced that they have discovered a ransomware that now has what's called worm-like behavior. And for those of you who understand a little bit about malware, a worm is a little different than just your normal virus. And so what, according to Microsoft, they said this ransom leverages removable and network drives to propagate itself and affect more users. So it's not just going to hit that one computer that it just happened to be on. It's going to spread. And typically it spreads extremely fast.
Yeah, well, people don't understand that concept of, you know, today, if I have a ClickHappy employee and I've got some security in place so that they can't get to everything, like that retailer, probably everybody in the company shouldn't have had access to those accounting files, you know, just to assume, well, it's a password to get in, so I don't have to worry about protecting it. Well, here's a reason that if you don't need access to it, don't give them access to it. Right. Because that access, even though it was easier to set up and maintain the security originally, as we've mentioned many times, security is not convenient, that allowed that individual to be able to do it. But if I had the security set up properly, it would have prevented it from getting to the accounting necessarily. But with the worm behavior, all it takes is that person sharing something with somebody else in the office that does have access that should have it.
Mm-hmm.
And off we go, because now it will, and I know you were excited when we brought up this episode so that you could say, propagate.
Propagate. Yeah. The word that you made fun of me on that word back in one of the earlier episodes.
I make fun of you all the time. Anyway, but
so, yeah. Propagate.
Because it will be able to spread, this is a huge concern, but it's also the next logical step for the criminals is to be able to do this. So
yeah, bad news.
Yeah, it's really bad news. So how do we, well, first let's look at dealing with it under HIPAA. And we haven't addressed that. Is it a PHI breach? And there's a big debate / discussion, whatever, about, you know, if I check every single one of them, all they ever do is encrypt what's there, and the only outbound traffic is going out to the server where it gets its key before it encrypts things. Once it's encrypted, there's no exfiltration. That'll be my big word today.
Wow.
The data doesn't seem to ever go out once it's encrypted, because you're still looking at big files. And to be able to go find all of those and get them out, that's a whole different story. So there's a debate then that says, well, the data never leaves, so therefore, it's not a PHI breach. Mm-hmm. It's not out of my control. But if I can't get to it, am I in control of it? And can I be 100% certain that they aren't in some way leaving little breadcrumbs behind or making it so that they can get to this data? That's the huge debate. So technically, a breach of data is where it could have been seen. Remember, there's that thing, I can't prove that it wasn't. So that it remains to be seen, because I haven't seen any specific guidance saying whether or not it should be considered a breach. But you think about the hospital, it was completely shut down.
Yeah. So if you get a ransomware attack on a machine, it's probably pretty advisable to just have that machine completely format it and set up from scratch again just to make sure there's nothing left behind on it.
Well, yeah. And it, when you look at it, okay, well, it's on a map drive on a server, that gets a little bit more complicated. But with all this in mind, so first of all, if it happens in healthcare under HIPAA, there's a big concern on whether it's defined as a breach. I know that I simply advise. That's always what I say. I give you my opinion. I advise, and it's up to you to decide what to do about your business. In the end, it's not going to be on my shoulders if things go right or go wrong. But we have shown so far, we've been able to show that here's when it happened, and there's no big burst of data going out, because it would be huge, you know, that outbound data. But how do we, so it's a debate on whether or not it's a breach, which is always great news under HIPAA. We're not sure. We don't know. We can't say. But there is that concern. And then HIPAA says you have to have, malware protections, which we talked about just previously. But do the malware protections protect you from a breach?
No.
No. They're not. Protect you from a ransomware attack, not a breach. That's not
one. Still the answer is no.
Still the answer is no. I was getting to the no answer. Blah, 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 blah. But overall, when you consider what a ransomware attack does, it's not behaving in the way that other malware has behaved in the past and the way that the systems have been put in place to watch for it. So as we were talking about before we started, there are companies developing solutions. I know Malwarebytes has something in beta that they're trying to come up with that'll detect these kinds of things and try to prevent them. And you were mentioning as well what you were considering doing with your clients. So have your nerdy moment, Dave.
My nerdy moment. Let me get all nerdy with it. Well, we have one of the vendors we use has a what they call a heartbeat service. I guess you can call it a service, but it's it goes along with having hardware, firewalls, and what they call UTMs in place, and then having the endpoint antivirus security protection on the machines, and so they talk to each other, which is very different than what IT could do even if just a short time ago. Those things usually lived apart. They didn't really know about each other. But since these are the same vendor, then they kind of talk to each other. And so what happens is if the computer, or what we call the endpoint, if the endpoint recognizes that there is a virus, a malware type activity going on, that it sends an information back to your firewall and says, hey, this computer is infected. And then the firewall cuts that computer off from the rest of the network immediately, which is awesome for us, because typically what happens is somebody would see a problem. And this is assuming they're vigilant. They would see a problem. They would try to call us on the phone or send an email or something and say, here's something on our screen. Can you take a look at it? And, all these minutes go by, and sometimes we pick up the phone and we're like, unplug it. I don't even turn it off. Just unplug it. Right. Immediately. Well, by this time, 10, 15 minutes has then went by, and, things in computer world moves pretty fast.
Yeah.
So it's too late at that point, really. It's already done its thing. But, having it to where as soon as the software realizes something's going on, it sends the signal back to the firewall and it cuts that off, that means it's happening immediately. And so the chance of things going through your entire network is greatly depreciated. So I think that's going to be a pretty cool thing. But of course, it costs a little bit more money to have that happen. So that's always the fun part.
Right. Yeah. We can now fix this thing, but it is more expensive. So the higher end solutions are going to be able to address this quicker. And it does speak also to having a true business class firewall UTM device and universal threat management device. But if you just have like, we talked about it before, if you just have a most basic firewall in place, or even worse, you have somebody put in a high-end one, but then you don't deal with them anymore and nobody's making sure it's up to date.
Yeah, because those things
are configured properly.
Yeah, because they have subscriptions on them. So,
yes.
And that's something that a lot of people don't understand when you, especially when I go out and talk to clients who's like, yeah, I bought a router 4 years ago. And I'm like, okay, what about the subscription on it? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, but nothing's on it. It's really working. I mean, you're getting the routing. So, you're network is still doing the same thing it's always done, but it's just not protecting you anymore.
You're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even know that.
Well, it's just like the folks, well, going back to that story about the retailers, after they discovered their trouble, they go to their backup because they knew they had one, but nobody had tested it.
Mm, yeah.
So guess what? The backup hadn't been working properly for more than 2 years in their case. 2 years, nobody had checked. So you can have these things in place, but if no one's monitoring, no one's checking them, it's almost like you don't have
them. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around.
Yeah. So needless to say, all of the different ways that this stuff can come in makes it much more complex to try to prevent it. And the companies that are trying to find ways, you know, a human's always going to find a way to get around or do something that the technical people didn't know was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know you were using it that way. Well, we thought that's why you set it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have that problem quite often with the communication aspect of a client to the IT. And I know a lot of other IT companies have the same things because I have the conversations, but you know, if you've got something going on or you're trying to change the way you do things or you're wanting to all of a sudden, you know, buy a laptop and have a employee mobile, I mean, anything and everything that you do in your practice that has anything to do with IT, you should consult with your IT provider if nothing else, just let them know what you're doing so they understand how to better service or support what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, you're supposed to, under HIPAA, if you're covered under HIPAA, you're supposed to do a risk analysis whenever you change to something new. If you're adding any kind of new thing, like adding a mobile worker or work from home that you've never done before, you should evaluate your risk, document what you evaluated, and make sure you have policies and procedures in place. That's under HIPAA. But I can assure you, it doesn't matter what your business is. Small businesses need to stop thinking that their computers are like what they use at home.
Amen. Say that again.
You know? Preach it. Preach it, sister. But it's the backbone of any business today is technology. And if you're fortunate enough not to be able to be tied to it the way we are, I mean, you and I freak out if we have no technology available.
Mm-hmm.
The number of businesses that can say that is very small. Most businesses without the computers, even hair salon gets a computer down. It's like everyone in that community knows their computer's down because that's all they can talk about. Computer's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what kind of business it is. You need to be aware and understand, and that gets back to there needs to be a budget for technology and a budget line item for managing it and people assigned to it. It's not something you do on the side anymore. And this ransomware stuff, it just brings that point home because if you aren't understanding the attack itself, if you don't even know how it gets there, how can you make sure that you're training your people to be vigilant?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's really cool are there are sites where you can fish your own employees. And I love those because most of these ransomware attacks get in from emails and click happiness, right?
Right.
So if I do these attacks, and I'll do it just randomly across the client base, and I really like doing it to the higher-ups. But I usually get, well, you should have told me you were doing it.
What's the purpose of telling you?
That kind of blows the whole plan of it being a test. But it is a very telling process to watch what happens when you do it. And the tools do some really interesting stuff, and they mix it up, and you know, they'll make it look like different banks. And I actually had one CFO tell me that it's my fault because I knew that's where they banked. And I was like, it's totally random. I don't even set it up. You set me up to fail. No, it's like six different things it could look like. You just happened to get that one. So know that you need to test and have that awareness. And OpenDNS even has a really cool test for you to go in. It's free, and you have everybody go through it. It helps you recognize what are phishing emails, because they are really good at it. Really good at it. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that we use to help prevent it on the techno side is Crypto Prevent. I don't know if you use that, David. Do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, there's the free version, the paid version, and it's very inexpensive, so that you can be able to load this. And what it does is it tries to prepare your computer for an attack. Let's just call it that way. Mm-hmm. It sets up some, but really what it's doing is it's looking at the way that most of them launch, and then tries to prevent things from launching in that area. It doesn't know necessarily exactly what it is, but it knows how these things are launching, so it tries to stop that one area. And it's not something, let's just say it's not something that is really common security that you would put in place. So,
right.
But I encourage everybody to at least put on the free version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, and it doesn't...
No cost, nothing.
Yeah, and it doesn't... you don't see it on the front end. You don't see anything happening. So it's not like, you know, you're going to have to deal with it once you put it on there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the next one up. Oh, it's the premium edition is $15. And it updates itself. It's one time, lifetime, forever. Load it on there, updates itself. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing. But needless to say, there are ways that people are working really hard to find prevention. But again, the most effective prevention is vigilance and training of your staff.
Right.
Can't stress this enough. And I know we've rambled all around the topic today. And, you know, it's my fault because my notes had so many links in it. But you'll see that when you get to the webpage, we'll have a ton of links so that we can show you some of these articles. But the important thing to know is it's not going to slow down. It's not going to go away easily. There's not going to be some magic wand that your tech person or your antivirus company will be able to wave over it and suddenly it'll stop it. And ignoring it is really, you know, it's like being right on the beach and a hurricane's coming and you don't do anything.
Yeah. it's
kind of like that. It could literally destroy your company. And you know, people, you should take the time, have a discussion.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what you have in place either. Nothing is 100% as far as protection. It's kind of like other things in life. I won't go down that road, but I don't care that you spent X amount of dollars on the best this and that and the other. It doesn't give you free rein to just willy-nilly around the internet and click on everything you want to. You will still get infected. And so, you know, I just don't want people to have a false sense of security that they've got an awesome IT guy and they've got awesome technology in place and they're good to go and nothing's going to happen. No, sorry. It doesn't work that way.
So the way you protect yourself is at least install the free Crypto Prevent, and there'll be a link to that on the webpage, and train your people and regularly, do that. Don't just do it once a year. We've talked about this how many times.
Almost every time.
Yeah. Anytime training comes up, we talk about how it has to be constant because you got to remind people. And then back up, back up, back up.
Yep. And I've said this before, and maybe we need to do a whole show on it. But your backup needs to be set up in a way that's more of a business continuity solution, not just a file syncing type of backup, because that's not going to do you much good if your files become encrypted and then your file syncing automatically sends the encrypted copy and overwrites your good copy. So now that your backups are encrypted at that point. So it does you no good.
You have to have versioning and backups of the backup, and it's a long list of things, but you need to know how that's set up. And there are many, many vendors have those features, but people don't even know how to use them, or they're on the free version and you got to pay for something. And Lord knows we can't pay for it. But yeah, for me, I look at it as, you know, again, it's the backbone of my company, and how do I want to protect it?
Mm-hmm. It's the best insurance policy you can have. Yeah, and at least really. You can use it.
But understand it. Test it, like that company where it didn't work for 2 years and nobody had looked at it. Understand how it works. Test it from time to time. Make sure you can actually restore things. And periodically review to make sure everything is being backed up. How many times do people add new things and then they didn't worry about that? They just assumed everything got backed up.
Yeah. Oh, I've had that before too. I've always got a story.
I know. There's always a story.
Yeah, but you know, in the past, I've had a client say, you know, when we start setting up their backups, you know, all I need you to do is back up XYZ. Then when something happens to A, B, and C, they go, oh, that's okay. We got a backup. I'm like, no, you don't. That's not what you said you wanted backed up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's happened more than once as well. I told you I wasn't backing that up. That's all I can say about that.
Remember, you didn't want to pay the extra $10 a month to have that done.
Yeah. So you're on your own at this point. But take the time, evaluate it, do it with a professional. And I say that simply because I'm the one that gets called in when you haven't had a professional. And it's never good.
You are.
It's never good.
You prevent it.
Yeah. You need a professional to prevent it. Oh, geez, we're going off the rails now. So hopefully all of our rambling on this topic, you can at least find helpful. But know that even the FBI and DHS and all of those guys, everybody is fully aware and actively trying to find ways to prevent it. But it gets down to people.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like I said yesterday in the webinar we were doing, your biggest asset and your biggest failure point are the same thing. It's people.
Right.
They will make you or break you.
Well, and for me, I don't know, but I'm always paranoid I'm going to be the one to do it, you know? And I promise you, I understand it and I know it, but I'm terrified I'm going to be the one to do it, which should tell you something about what you should be afraid of.
Yeah.
So, but I think that we've been able to at least cover enough to say something about protecting yourself, and there's going to be plenty of these links for you to build your case for the powers that be, so to speak, as well as the tools that we've talked about using and those kind of things. And of course, you know, you can always call David about how to do it.
Come in, I'll tell you. Yeah, well, I mean, people can look us up on Facebook and, you know, start a discussion there. They can email us, helpmewithhipaa.com. So there's a bunch of different places you can ask further questions, because I know this is a hot topic and we'll probably cover it in another format or so way, because we've already covered it a couple times. So, you know, it begs to be talked about a lot, because I think it's going to be the most problematic thing we face this year in IT as well as healthcare.
I agree.
So that's it for today. If you enjoyed today's show, head on over to iTunes and give us a review. We much appreciate it. We don't have a way to hold you for a ransom to do that, but if we did, we might consider it. Review us on iTunes and we'll let go of your data. You can also share this episode out on your favorite social media channel. And don't forget to head over to helpmewithhipaa.com and check us out. We have lots of other stuff there, as well as all the links we talked about in today's show, as well as training courses that you can get access to as well. So for Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.